listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the remainder of today's program on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 1st, we're going to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. Coming off that interview with Roger Severino, Jeff, I don't think, maybe because I'm a pessimist,
I was going to say, I wanted to know what you think, because I often refer to you as the most cynical person that I've known. I'm sure I've met people that are more right. cynical, but that I've known personally.
I just never, honestly, I've spent 25 years talking about Roe v. Wade. And if you would have said, will it be overturned in your lifetime? I would have said, no. I don't think it's going to be overturned in my lifetime. Now, it's still not a foregone conclusion, of course, but if there was ever a chance for it to be overturned, this is the chance for it to be overturned. And from what I have heard and what we heard from Roger Severino, the people on the pro-life side are very hopeful that the court will do the right thing and get rid of both Roe and Casey for good. We can put them in the dustbin of history, like Plessy versus Ferguson and all the other badly decided court cases, and maybe history will record that it was a terrible. You know, occasionally Supreme Courts do terrible things. It was a terrible thing along with all those others. And eventually, after almost a half century, it was overturned. But I never thought I'd live to see the day, tell you the truth. What about you?
I hope that you're right, but I'm going to play Wilkin here. I don't want to get my hopes up because there were many conservative commentators that thought we were going to win Obergefell.
Yeah, and look, the wild card here is two justices, one of them actually a Donald Trump appointee, and then the Chief Justice. It's just difficult to know what those two justices are going to actually do here. I have a hard time that they would side with the opposition, but you know, you can divide nine justices a lot of different ways. So we'll just pray that this is the opportunity to overturn it. And then, you know, we're back in the soup again because, you know, we live in the state of Illinois, which is going to become exponentially more pro-choice after something like this. They're going to have a lot to prove, along with a lot of other blue states. So it's far from over, but man, it would be good to see that excuse, legal excuse, for a terrible decision to go down.
Amen. I'm going to try something here. I was reaching in my hoodie pocket, and I found a mask.
Oh.
So I'm going to read the first email with a mask and without a mask, and you tell me if you can tell the difference.
All right,
okay?
All right.
This is without. Emily writes, "Hi, Todd and Jeff. My 5th to 6th grade classes and I were wondering, when did God create angels and how do we know?" It's Emily in Minnesota. Let me try it again.
All right, put the mask on.
It's kind of hard with headphones. "Hi, Todd and Jeff. My 5th and 6th grade class and I were wondering, when did God create angels and how do we know?" Emily in Minnesota.
Sounds like the old studio.
There's a little bit of a difference. I can tell a little slight difference.
No, you can't enunciate as well as you can. I think it makes a difference. But it's a good question. What was the name of the emailer? Elizabeth?
Do you want me to respond with the mask or without the mask?
Without the mask.
This is without the mask. Emily in Minnesota.
Emily in Minnesota.
Do you need the question again?
No.
Okay. I read it twice, so
that
would suffice.
First of all, the Bible doesn't tell us, but the Bible leaves us very few possibilities that for when the angels were created. Is it possible that the angels were created at some time before the creation of the universe? I suppose it's theoretically possible, but that is an argument entirely from silence. We know that the angels exist after the 7th day of creation, because by that time, the fall of the angels has already occurred. Isn't that amazing to think that the Angelic Host, if they were created, although we don't know, sometime during the 6 days of creation, they got only 1 week into creation before they fell away. And we know that because Satan himself is a fallen angel. So sometime after the first day of creation and before the fall of man, the angels were created and fell. That's the only time we can put it in there. As I said before, is it possible that the angels were created in kind of a separate creation event or something before the creation of the world? I said it's theoretically possible, but there's absolutely no evidence in Scripture for that. So we can only say what Scripture says, and then we have to stop talking. And that's where we have to put the creation of the angels, that between the first verse of the Bible and the fall of man into sin, the angels were created and some of them fell into sin. When we come back, we're going to go through more of your email, the Issues Etc. listener comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. With 5 weeks left in 2021, we need $192,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is, lcmschaps@lcms.org.
The pursuit of truth is the best way to prepare students for lives of responsible freedom and vocational service in family, church, and career. At Concordia University Chicago, truth is one of the pillars of our education, and that makes all the difference for our students. I'm Dr. Eli Hesterman, Dean of the College of Health, Science, and Technology at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth to become a pillar of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I'm assuming you got my message on your machine.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hey, before we get back to email, I'm excited about our second book to be released. FYI, if you're expecting for Christmas, it's not going to happen. It's a Christmas gift. But it's Objections Overruled 2, Answering the Arguments of Christianity. Of course, we came out with Objections Overruled last year at this time. And 10 great Lutheran apologists. Here are the chapter headings and the authors. Science has disproven the existence of God by Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. First Century People Were Primitive by Craig Parton. Christianity is Anti-Intellectual by Dr. Angus Manouche. There are divergent manuscripts of the Bible by Mark Pearson. There is little archaeological evidence to support Scripture by Paul Meyer. The Bible is only a book of faith by Dr. Alvin Schmidt. The Bible teaches bigotry by Dr. Kirk Clayton. The story of Jesus is stolen from older mystery religions by Dr. Adam Francisco. The deity of Christ was an early church innovation by Dr. Stephen Parks. And Jesus can't be the only way of salvation by Dr. John Bombaro. It's all in our forthcoming book, Objections Overruled 2, Answering Arguments of Christianity. We'll send you this book and a new recording of 14 Easter season hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org or by check, make your $250 plus check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Heidi listens in Switzerland. She says, "Dear Issues Etc., I am reading the Book of Concord daily. It is sometimes challenging for me to understand what is being said. Is there a commentary to the Book of Concord to help one understand it in plain English? Do you have a series explaining the Book of Concord that I could listen to? There is not a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation in my country, and therefore I cannot ask my pastor for explanations. Thanks for listening in Switzerland, Heidi."
So, Heidi, you are in luck because we do have not just a show that it helps with this. We have an entire series. I can't remember how many parts, somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 parts, with the sainted Pastor Paul McCain. We did an extensive series with him on in detail, in depth, on every part of the Book of Concord. So, and he, by the way, was the general editor of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions, which is called the Reader's Edition of the Book of Concord. So you can find that if you go to our website, issuesetc.org, and if you enter the search term either Lutheran Confessions, which would be a little bit more general, or Paul McCain, probably more likely, you're going to find those episodes. It's also, there's also a page dedicated to it because I know I made the page and I can't remember what the name of the page is. Jeff will get it for me here in a second. Another piece of advice is if you don't already have the Reader's Edition of the Book of Concord, it's called Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, published by Concordia Publishing House. If you don't have that already, it's really helpful because it is a Reader's Edition. It explains a lot of the history, a lot of the terminology, a lot of the issues in and with the text of the Book of Concord. And I do understand how it can be rather daunting, but that series by Pastor Paul McCain, and then also the Reader's Edition of the Book of Concord, it makes it a lot easier.
This is Paul in Milwaukee regarding program 3331 with Pastor Wolf Miller about Christian worship. Yes, God speaks to us, we respond. Assuming I have not missed something, what about confession and absolution, the latter mentioned in 1-3-3-3-1 sentence? We confess our sins, God responds with absolution through the pastor. Or does God take the initiative, give us the law, and we react with sorrow for sins and confess them in the service, and the pastor, acting for God, absolves? Maybe this will be straightened out when Pastor W. takes up the issue again. I could tell him about marketing Missouri here locally. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much for your comment. Well, we are, by the way, doing a series on the Lutheran liturgy that we just began with Pastor Will Whedon and Pastor Sean Denzer. And we didn't get to confession and absolution yet. We were kind of getting near it, but we just got as far as the invocation last time when we began that series. and Pastor Wolfmiller does an excellent job, by the way, of explaining in our series, What I Wish My Non-Lutheran Family Knew About, in the worship segment, the basics of a Lutheran understanding of worship. God speaks, and then that speaking creates a response in those to whom God has spoken. You ask about confession and absolution. We're in the strict chronology. First, we speak, and then God responds with the absolution. We confess sins, then God responds with the absolution. This has become kind of one of my pet peeves about a misunderstanding of the dynamic of Christian worship, a Lutheran approach to worship in particular, and that is somehow we come every Sunday as blank slates. I don't know where this idea came in, but it does, like, somehow we walk in and God's never acted upon us or spoken to us before. Somehow the week away from Sunday morning has erased all knowledge of God, of His Word, and we need to start tabula rasa again every single Sunday. This is why we call it Christian worship, because it is Christians who are gathered. Actually, that action of the Holy Spirit begins even before you show up at church. What does Luther say in the explanation to the third article of the Creed in the Small Catechism? The Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, and keeps us in the one true faith. That's describing the action of the Holy Spirit in Christian worship and in more general terms as well. So the fact that you even show up for church shows that the Holy Spirit has been at work on you. No, as Don Matzett used to say, the Holy Spirit doesn't set your alarm clock on Sunday morning, but the Holy Spirit moves you to set your alarm clock on Sunday morning. If I was left to my own devices, I would sleep through, okay? But it's nothing other than the power of the Holy Spirit that is saying, tomorrow I go to church. Otherwise, I would have no desire for such a thing or see no need for such a thing. So we don't show up on Sunday morning as blank slates, having never heard from God before, having forgotten the Word of God or not having received God's Word. So we come in, we hear the name of God. The name of God is proclaimed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we do what Christians do. That's why we call it Christian worship. We know our state before this holy God. God's Word has taught us already that we are not worthy to stand in His divine presence, in the presence of the Holy Trinity and of Christ. And so the altogether natural thing for a Christian to do at that point, as Isaiah did when he in vision form stood in the throne room of God, is to confess yourself a sinner and await God's judgment. And God's judgment comes in the form of the absolution, the forgiveness of all our sins. So I think we could only see that as somehow out of step with God speaks and we listen or we respond if we assumed that we come on Sunday morning having never heard God's Word before. God's Word is pretty powerful. It sticks with you. Even the cares and the worries of this life can't erase it from the mind of a Christian. The presence of the Holy Spirit deposited there with the Word of God, in the Word of God. This is why Paul urges Christians to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It doesn't leave you when you walk out of church. So you come in as a Christian who has the Holy Spirit in baptism and who on whom the Word of God is already acting and in whom the Word of God is richly dwelling.
Here's an email from Sarah. She says, hi, guys. I just wanted to say that almost every evening I knit and listen to Lutheran Public Radio. That's our 24/7 sacred music station. If it were a noisier hobby, I would record Wisconsin Knitters Love Issues, etc. My personal take on knitting in church, sometimes I knit in the narthex, but never in the divine service. I do need help staying focused, so I take notes during the sermon, concludes Sarah.
All right, thank you very much. That's from a previous conversation we had here during listener email about whether or not people who knit during the service are somehow failing to pay full attention. So it's nice to know that she keeps her knitting in the narthex.
And for Heidi in Switzerland, and anybody else that's interested in our in-depth series with the late Pastor Paul McCain, it's issuesetc.org/Paul-McCain, M-C-C-A-I-N, issuesetc.org/Paul-McCain. Do we have to put the dashes in there? Or is that something you do?
Yes, the dashes go in there automatically.
Really?
Yeah, that's how the hyperlink reads a empty space. Hyperlinks can't have empty space. So
Neil writes, kudos to you all for hosting Joshua Pauling on your program. Finally, a Lutheran who understands Reformed theology, doesn't misrepresent it, seeks to understand both sides, and avoids caricatures and straw men. I say this as a former Reformed, now confessional Lutheran. Thank you for the honest discussion, concludes Neil.
That was an excellent conversation during Reformation Week that we had with Josh Pauling, and he had former Reformed roots. I would also say that if you want to listen to the conversations we have with Dr. Jordan Cooper responding to Calvinist proof texts, he does an excellent job of being very even-handed and fair when dealing with Reformed theology. I think is fair and even-handed as Josh Pauling is, both of them excellent guests. Thursday on Issues Etc., we're going to talk with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about the restoration of the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. They're apparently turning it into some kind of woke museum. And we'll get a review of the movie Ghostbusters Afterlife with Pastor Ted Geese. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.